Hallelujah. Barb, would you like to read? On the back of your notes, there's a scripture from Luke chapter 1. Everybody say this with me. Don't miss your destiny. Don't miss your destiny. We're going to talk about your destiny today. And let's go ahead and put that up there. You go ahead.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the Son to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
And we also have another verse there, a little further down in the passage, actually the next chapter, Luke 2, verse 34 and 35. Would you read that?
Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
I wonder what that felt like, huh? For Mary to actually have this incredible visitation 9 months earlier. She's thrilled and she says these words. You know, she says, "So be it to me according to your word." Because this angel is saying to her, "You're highly favored." There's all this incredible thing. And there's this revelation to her heart that God's chosen specific plan is coming to pass. And then she goes in to dedicate the baby, probably thinking we're going to hear some more good stuff. And now we see that the destiny of this child is for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And that Simeon turns to her and says, "And a sword will pierce your heart also." And here's the mom. Wait a minute. How many of you found out your life in Jesus Christ is not all rainbows and butterflies? But to be sold out to God's purpose in your life calls you to something far beyond. I know with my life it was, you know, for when you come to know the Lord, you feel like it's God's all for you. And He is. It's almost like it's all about me and the happiness of my soul, for I have a Savior. My sins are washed away. Yes, it's about me. It's just about me. And then you begin to grow and you realize it's about Him. It's about Him. And I don't represent Him the way I should. And it's really not so good. And I need to grow. And oh my gosh, is it harder than I thought? How many of you? I want to press into our hearts today a wonderful revelation, because when it says Jesus was destined, it's not just you. In Mary, Mary was destined. And Joseph was destined. And we even think of those people in the Old Testament like Josiah. Josiah was destined. And Josiah, a prophet, came in and said, "There will come a king and his name will be Josiah." And like 200 years later, some long time later, here comes Josiah's born. Or how about King Cyrus? And he's mentioned and it's written down, and they go to him and they tell him later, and he's not saved. He's not even in the nation of Israel. But he becomes the resourcer of rebuilding the wall in the book of Nehemiah. Where do they get that information? I want to go ahead and look at point number one. God has a destiny for your life that impacts eternity. The plans are written in a book. The plans are written in a book. In Jewish culture, it's understood That every life has a book written. That it's all written down in the heavens. That there's a purpose for each person. And it's already kind of like agreed upon. But it's only discovered in Christ. Because it's not just for you, it's for eternity, it's for the glory of God. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the very first scripture, that is just a reference that we have, but Hebrews 10:7 says, then, this is about Jesus, it says, and I said, behold, I have come. And now listen to these words. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. What book? It's a fascinating study to find out how many books are. We'll get to that. In the volume of this book, it is written of me. He says, to do your will, O God. So there's a script. There's a purpose. There are plans written. In Psalm 139, verse 16, I just wrote a song recently and it has this concept in it. Listen to this. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, they were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. When there was none of them, God had already written down all the days that He's planned. What? Yes. What? Yes. Yes, God has already thought about your life and the purpose of it and actual days that things would happen. I don't understand the fullness of it, but I can kind of catch something in my spirit that years and years ago in this very building, in 1896, they dedicated this building, and it was for a purpose. And I will never forget this. About 4 years ago, it was on a New Year's Eve. And we were in the other room in the altar praying. And as I was down there praying, the Lord spoke to me. And I remember most of the times when He says something, because I'm more visual. And the Lord will show me something, I'll see it. Or I'll have a deep sense of, or just an inner knowing. That's usually the way He talks to me. I just suddenly know things. But this time He said these words. He said, you're an answer. We're all down there praying. I can point to the very spot. He says, you're an answer to the prayers that were prayed at this very altar. Those are the words. Wow. You're an answer to the prayers that were prayed at this very altar. How did God know that I would show up in Fairmont 22 years ago? In all this predestining of our life, did He already know that I would marry you in California and bring Pastor Heather out here and we'd start this? And He already knew about this way back? Somebody say yes. Yes, because He has a purpose. He sees He's God. And what was the purpose of this place? And what's the purpose of our life? And it's just as you go along the journey, you begin to discover things. That's why when we look into little Declan's eyes, we see the hope, the potential. And we see the inspiration of a life fulfilled in God's destiny. Psalm 139:16 again. Your eyes saw my unformed substance in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. That is just the most intriguing passage. Elbow somebody next to you and say, you got a book in heaven with your destiny written in it. Come on, everybody has this. There's further proof. There's further proof. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Which God prepared when? When you showed up? No. Beforehand, that we should walk in them. Everybody say, I'm saved by grace. For works. People get it messed up. They think they're saved by works. There's no saving by works. They're saved by grace. Saved by grace. You cannot do enough to earn the favor of God. The favor of God comes via Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. When He died, you know what I want to tell you? The loudest voice in heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you happy about that? The loudest voice, the most clear voice, the redemptive power. When He shed His blood and He went up into the heavens and He poured out His blood in that symbolic way, just as it poured out on the cross, He brought it before. Now, nations can be redeemed. Every individual, everybody's sins are taken care of because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed, and redemptive powers are made available to every single person. And so when you come into the very courtroom of heaven, and the accuser is speaking against you because of your failure, you turn in a state of repentance and you say, I'm sorry for my sins. Will you forgive me, Lord? And He says, yes, it's done. And their blood covers you. And now the accuser's voice is shut up. And he has nothing on you because the blood speaks. And then your destiny is fulfilled in this, all tangled up in the failures of the past or the failures of the generation before you, because you can repent of all that too. And the power of the blood can free us from everything that holds us back. That's why when I look in little Declan's eyes and I hear the prayers of this father and I hear the prayers of this grandfather, they know the pathway. They know they were hung up in stuff. And they understand how to get out, because Jesus can free us from anything when we come to Him on His terms. Not on our terms, but on His terms. It is even the Lord Himself that gives us the desire to repent. It doesn't come from you or me. We're not made that way. We fight for ourselves. It's very difficult for us to humble our hearts. It's a gift from God to humble our hearts. Even the gift of repentance is a gift. Somebody say hallelujah. It's a good gift, isn't it? We would never change and never come into anything of our destiny if the Lord didn't give us the very gift to say, I'm sorry before the living God. And we can... Oh, look at this. The last verse I want you to see is Revelation 20, verse 12. There's a group of these verses, but I want to just, and I, this is the great white throne. Is this, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Everybody say this, and the books were opened. The books were opened. The books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. What are all these books? There's your book. The purpose that God had for your life is open to see, did they fulfill it? And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. My wife and I would never have imagined, and the sleepless nights and all the tears and all the things going on with a multitude of details just to pull this place off, just to get restored. Come to the end of it all, saying, I can't do this anymore. And the Lord said, the reason I asked you to do it is because I've given you the ability to do it. You see, honey, I wrote it down in a book. And I planned this beforehand, that there would come the wife of this goofy guy, this person who fumbles his way forward for trying to figure out life in a holy motley crew of people who get put back together again because we're all in this thing together before Jesus. And he says, but I gave you the gift. I wrote it down and I put it in your DNA and I gave you a capacity to do something that others would go, my goodness, what in the heck is this? And the details. And she goes, I can't stop thinking about the details. How many of you have been like that before? You just need to go somewhere and chill a little bit. And it says, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. One of the telltale signs of what's written in the book is based on two things. What are your giftings and what are you passionate about? You know, Moses was passionate about seeing the people of Israel liberated. But he was not in time with God's timing. And he killed an Egyptian, and then he's ended up being banished. How many of you know you get the glimpse of what you're to be, and then you go out of timing? Anybody else? When you come into knowing the Lord, you get the glimpse of what you're to be. The destiny, He whispers it into your heart. Something rises up inside of you, and you want to go and do that, and you just got to make it happen on your own. And the Lord says, no, we've got to process some things here. You got to learn how to do it in me. How many of you have done... try to run out and do it all on your own? That's like Moses, right? Just like Moses. Run out and do it all on your own, and then you're all burned out. Man, the whole room, you should have seen it. Have you ever seen those little like toy dogs in the back of the windows of the car? And everybody just, the hall of the head started, oh my gosh, yes. Yes, because see, look, it's written in the book. It's written. It's written for you to do this. But it's not written to do outside of the power of the Lord in you. For you're His, you're the branch on the vine. And it's His life infused in you that causes you to have a capacity to do this and do it from a state of peace and not anxiety. How many of you would like to probably hear about two messages at least on that? Because we're called, and the Lord There are things that the Lord has called you to, Pastor Lisa, in the realm that you're in, and you feel fatigued and tired of it, but there's a place. The Lord set this all up for you. What I see is there's things that will be written that will affect larger things that God's called you to do. And be refreshed. Be refreshed because you've had times when you wanted to give up too. It's been rough. How many of you understand that doing the Lord's will, it's like Mary. It's like, oh boy, so be it to me according to your word. Okay, it's going to be like a sword to pierce your heart through. Oh, that's not the part I wanted to hear. I wasn't ready for that part. What are you gifted to do? What makes you mad? What makes you glad? What works in you? And those are telltale signs of what's written in the book. But it's a partnership with the Lord. He's the one that must arrange these things as you move along in life and develop. I wasn't ready for many things. And the Lord had to say, here's where we're going. And then how many of you know you're like, yes, let's go do it. And the guy says, you're not ready on the inside. You don't have it together on the inside. I got to work on that. There's way too much of you involved. And that there is good preaching. I will admit that. That's good preaching. I have to just admit that to myself. Paul said we die daily, right? Let's look at point number two. You can miss your destiny in Christ. You can miss it. You can miss your destiny. I just got a few things here. We're going to go pretty quick. Number one, you miss it just by the sheer fact that you reject Jesus. There are people that have things. See, we're talking about people's lives that have an impact in eternity based on what the Lord does in them. And when somebody rejects the Lord, it never takes off. They can bump into it and find some of the things fulfilling that in their passion and gifting, but it doesn't do what the Lord wanted to do for actually rewards in heaven. And that's a big deal. And that's another subject, and we dealt with that a little while ago. Here's another way you can miss it. Ready? It's down on your paper. Being unforgiving. How many of you have had your sins forgiven at some point by Jesus? How many of you, it's pretty much a daily matter. You come into the Lord saying, okay, I messed up again. And he says, as long as you just keep showing up, He'll change your heart. Now, how many of you have done this where you're blaming other people for what's wrong with you? See, that will just keep you right out of your destiny. Right? How about this? Beating yourself up over your sins all the time or just denying that they're there? The reality is Jesus came to redeem us from our sins and to set us free from the bondage and the power of them. And as we learn His way and receive the comfort that He has, the healing that He has, the freedom that He has, we begin to learn to walk in what He has for us. So that's another one. I have another one. When you're preoccupied with the world and preoccupied with sin, when you're preoccupied, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the love of the Father is not in you when you love the world. Those who practice sin, and it's not talking about having a stumbling moment. It's talking about this is what I do. It's like I punch the clock. I'm a really good sinner, and I go and I practice it. That's where you miss your destiny, when you're given to it that way. The Lord knows the difference. And lastly, being slothful, not preparing. The Lord has this incredible verse that He declares to us. He says that the kingdom of God is like a man who puts his hand to the plow, and no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So let's go to number three and we're done here. You can fulfill. Hey, that's a pretty simple point. You can fulfill your destiny in Christ. You can fulfill it. And as we look back at the Christmas story here, we'll see something. And it's pretty much following that pattern. Because Mary is a picture of the first person to actually have Jesus living on the inside of them. For real. And the first thing that's going to happen when you open your heart to the Lord, you become pregnant with His purpose for your life. Something begins. A beginning point. You become pregnant with His purpose for your life, just like she did. And you sense the favor of the Lord. But there's another thing that happens too. And as that life begins to grow in you and begin to steward that and you walk along with the Lord, here's what happens. You experience both the blessing of God and the opposition of adversaries at the same time. They come together. Blessing, opposition. The blessing of the Lord, the opposition of adversaries. Why is that? Jesus said in the parable of the sower, same thing. He sows the word. What's the word? The word's not just what's wrapped up in the gospel is more than it. It's enough to be just the redemptive power of Jesus, but it's more than that. It's because it releases you into what you're to be. That's the real power of it. And what happens? Hell comes immediately to steal it. All kinds of tribulation, all kinds of things come to keep you from having the depth of it worked into you and for you to move forward in life. In fact, we had in the Christmas story, we have Herod. Herod showing up, sending soldiers to kill off every baby that was two and under. You have the opposition. If you think just for a minute about you stepping forward in your life in Jesus Christ and what comes up immediately to oppose it, you're not far off from understanding the dynamic I'm talking about here. How many of you found out that your own flesh is a foe? Your own inability to stand, to walk through. I found out, that, and it's the truth. I got to have Jesus to walk with Jesus. Jim Elliot, he was the missionary that was killed by, I think, in Papua New Guinea or some tribe. He said, he is no fool. Loses what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Does that make sense? In other words, you'll be happy having given it all over. And one other thing before I get to the last point here. The opposition to the next thing that God wants to do is usually opposed by the people who were on the cutting edge of the last thing that God was doing. The opposition to the next thing God wants to do is usually by those who were on the cutting edge of what God did last. And I want to tell you that I want to do the next thing because it's written in a book. And I'm going to learn how to follow through with it and be what Jesus wants us to be at this time, not the past. There's a rich history in this place of serving the community. I'm going to figure out how God wants me to partner with what's written in the book. Are you there? Did anybody sense the sense of life that I'm saying here? I sense a closeness and a sense of purpose to the Lord and a sense of destiny to be fulfilled with our city like I've never had before because we finally made it here. And now I don't want to be so tired that I go, now what? But with a little refreshment, I'll say, Father, my wife and I are given to your purpose. And I know that those here among us are walking. Man, I just feel now the prophetic, you know. We're going to fulfill God's destiny. We're going to fulfill His purpose in this place. There is a call upon our life. And we will break through and see things happen in people's lives. That we didn't ever, that they wouldn't have the kingdom of God working in their life. Let's praise the Lord just for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Everybody knows this. I want to just go ahead and say the last little thing here. You will be refined through tests of your character, and adjustments will be made for you to represent Jesus. How many of you know that Mary, not only after. Mary holds Jesus as the baby in her arms, right? Then she receives a prophecy that a sword will pierce her heart. And now Jesus is in his ministry, and it's 30 years later. It's 30 years later. And somebody says, hey, your mom is coming and your brothers. Your mom is coming and your brothers. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But those who do the will of my Father. Oh, and the sword went in her heart. It's my boy. But now there's a point of separation. What happened? And there may be sentimental things that you have going on in your life. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. I have to put something to death in you where you related to me in some emotional way. But I'm calling you to a new place. I know that's happening with me. How many of you got involved with people emotionally? And the Lord says, I want it to be spiritual now. I want you to rise up. Alrighty, guys. Go ahead and set everything aside just for a moment. Hallelujah. Would you just... if you would be so kind to give everybody around you the courtesy of a sense of privacy yourself and just lift your head to the Lord. Go ahead and shoot up that little flare prayer of your own heart. Say, Lord, what'd you write in the book about me? What about me, Lord? What's written down for me? Because that's the Lord's passion for you today, that you understand that you have a unique destiny. It's nobody else's. It's yours in Christ Jesus. And the Lord is given to fulfill it in your life as you turn to Him and partner with Him and ask Him to learn in His ways. Do it His way. Walk with Him. Father God, I pray for everybody in this room. No matter how maybe they felt like they've messed it up, I pray for them in the name of Jesus that your blood that speaks more powerfully than anything else in the heavens would be shouting over them, you're redeemed, come to me, come to me. Come to me, come to me. I will make what went wrong right. I will heal what was broken. I will redeem you for the things you walked into that you should not have. I will help you. I will help you to the uttermost. Father, we pray for each person here. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand together just for a moment.